This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Time of year, and we'll see what happens tonight. If the Knicks can survive, then my bank account has not taken a hit. If it ends in six, then it's time to look at travel plans. If it goes to seven, I'm still teetering on that ice. But hopefully, if I do go, we can get a little update from the finals for the show.
All right, my man. Looking
all right,
forward
guys,
to it.
Have a great weekend.
That is soon. Eric Hasteine, Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play host. Announcer, I should say. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we got a blast from the past. That's up for the Suns job. We'll tell you about that. Also want to get into, hooray, it's that time of year. Let's talk some NCAA tournament expansion. That's what everybody wants. We'll talk about that and more. Jason Smith also coming up during hour number two. Stick around, you'll see Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. VIP play is live in Tennessee, and that means that you can go claim your VIP play welcome bonus. And that means that when you make your first bet of $5 or more, you'll get $100 in bonus bets instantly. Just use promo code Odyssey, AUDACY. Also, right now, the VIP Players Club sweepstakes is going on. That means that with every bet you make on VIP play, it gets you entries into the sweepstakes. You'll earn one entry per bet, one entry per dollar bet, and 10 times your entries on parlays and same game parlays. You're playing for a chance to win $10,000. That drawing will be on June 30th. Also, players can receive daily profit boosts like the 25% MLB parlay profit boost on picks of three or more. NBA playoffs and no danger wager where you can receive 50% of your stake back in bonus bets if your wager loses. And with college baseball's regionals starting this week, you can get a 20% off profit boost on parlays of three picks or more. VIP play, where everyone gets treated like a VIP. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. You must be 21 or older and located in Tennessee to bet. Let's get into the list. David Fizdale. Yeah, this is from Mark Spears, of course, of ESPN. Suns associate head coach and former NBA head coach David Fizdale is expected to be a part of a third round of interviews for the Suns head coach job. The former Grizzlies and Knicks head coach has the support of some key Suns players as well, sources said. I know who that source is.
Who you got?
David Fizdale.
I love that we just keep recycling names in the NBA. You know, it's like you held an NBA head coaching job once, you are forever available for another one.
Doesn't, though, this to me implies like nobody wants this job. Like, I know there's only 32 head coaching jobs.
He's on their staff now, and it is late May.
Right.
I mean, so it's like, oh, hey, Fizz, hey, what are you doing, buddy?
Well, like, I think it seems pretty obvious. Malone seems to be kind of settling into that ESPN position.
Dude, I think he's good at it.
I think he's very good at it, but I also think that, to me, signals, well, he didn't want this job, didn't get another job, and I think that's how you stay visible.
Oh, yeah. He'll get back in when the right opportunity comes along. You're an NBA championship winning head coach from the last few years. Like, you don't got to go jump at the. I mean, the Suns are a sinking ship, right? Like, why would you go and subject yourself to that?
Someone's gonna Fizdale's gonna collect a paycheck.
You got a cushy TV gig. We see it in college sports all the time that these guys get in the studio, then hang around for a little bit until the right job comes along. Yeah.
I wonder what Taylor does next year.
He would not be good on TV.
No, I agree with you on that.
Well, you know, the guys really took their vitamins today, and, you know, I did. We got
to see what kind of practice they have, what kind of play groups they were in. Has Mitch Johnson filled out his staff? I was always told Taylor was more up for that job, I think, than people realize.
I don't know how
real that is, but, like, I've been told that by people that I trust.
Yeah, I can see Taylor getting back in pretty quickly. He's just a basketball junkie, a basketball savant. I mean, you know, he's young still. He's not going to stay out of the business for long.
I guess you got to go back as an assistant, or do you? Because I always think if you wait it out and you don't have a TV gig, I really think that you, like, jeopardize yourself of being out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, so you think about, like, JB Bickerstaff. He went and he was an assistant for Cleveland for a year. Then he got the job. Now he's got another job. You know, so Taylor probably is Budenholzer coaching right now?
No.
Also no.
Okay. So he can't go work for Bud again. Because I mean that was his guy. You know, Taylor also has deep connections to San Antonio. They're undergoing a coaching change as well. I don't know what that
well,
staff
that's, I was wondering that's if that's Mitch. Mitch.
Oh yeah, right. So yeah, I mean that
he
would make perfect
not
sense.
From what I've been able to find, it also wouldn't shock me just because he was already essentially their second head coach anyway on that roster. I wouldn't shock me if he just keeps the same guys in place.
And that then elevates somebody from the video room or whatever.
Exactly. That seems like a very Spurs thing to do.
I mean, I do think it's interesting that all these teams, with the exception of Phoenix, everyone has just gone with, like, the internal hire.
Like, yeah, identifying NBA head coaching talent is not easy. And we see that because of how often you go with retreads. It's like, okay, this guy had a couple of good seasons at some point in the last 15 years. We're just going to go with him instead of rolling the dice on some guy who's just sat on the end of the bench with a clipboard, you know?
Well, I think it's interesting in the sense of what all can they really do?
Well, that's the thing. In college basketball coaching, you have a clear pipeline. It's called the low major ranks. It's called the mid major ranks. A guy has success there as a head coach. You feel pretty good about rolling the dice and hiring him to be a head coach. I mean, you ain't hiring NBA head coaches from the G League. I mean, you're just not doing that. So you can go and do what the Grizzlies did, which is
like what they'll do is they'll send a guy to be the G League head coach, and then he becomes an assistant on the main team. And then, like, I think that's like what Degnall did. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Degnall was there.
That's what Mitch Johnson did.
And I believe that's what Taylor did.
So, I mean, honestly, with it being such a players' league, I mean, who knows? You suspect David Fizdale is the one telling Mark Spears that the players want him. But if in reality the players want him, that's going to carry a huge amount of weight, especially on a roster like Phoenix is that is loaded down with high-dollar
Well, my bets. Only question was, are those players going to still be on the team next year?
Yeah. Well, Bradley Beal will, right?
Yeah, but, like, Fizdale always strikes me as the guy that knows, like, I got to go buddy up Durant.
Well, he didn't buddy up Marcus Gasol.
No, he did not. He did not. But he was too busy winning championships. One of the all-time frauds.
Yeah.
Like, just the ultimate, like, guy that, like, had, like, eight cliches that sounded good at a press conference. That doesn't get used enough. When we do the example of coaches that won the press conference that can't coach, he should be up there.
Well, and he's about to be a head coach for a third time.
Yeah, I mean, because he can win the press conference. But this just solidifies to me, like, nobody wanted this. I was a little surprised San Antonio didn't entertain opening the job.
Yeah, but they're such a culture-driven, internally focused, like, I mean, Pop was there. He was the head coach for how long, right? And he's still a part of the organization, too. I mean, that's part of it. There wasn't
he's
really,
the president.
Yeah, there wasn't a clean break. So, I mean, he's going to pick his guy, you know?
This is the other thing, though. How much of it is Pop's culture versus how much of it was they had Tim Duncan?
Well,
and then they had Tony Parker, and then they had Manu, like on the back end of having David Robinson.
Well, now, I feel like now they have Wimby, so you know, by promoting from within, you're staying on that same development track that you've already put in place for Wimby.
Yeah, I just feel like if you would have opened that job up, I do think that would have been the most attractive job in the league. I think you would have had sitting guys that would have, maybe not publicly, but they would have told their agent, go get on the phone. Like, I just kept wondering, and again, maybe this is also something, like, I'm also in the camp, I don't want to talk out of both sides of my mouth. Like, I think it's stupid to pay your basketball coach $25 million.
Yeah, well, here's what it is. You give this guy a shot. I mean, next year is not the Spurs championship.
You don't want to be the guy that replaces the guy.
No, right. And so you give him a chance. He's earned it. He's the internal hire, the culture guy, whatever. You give him a shot at the job for a year or two. He's your Matt Luke. I mean, really, like, if he stinks after 2 years, the Spurs are still early in their contention window, then you go out and get the big-name coach as Wimby's entering his prime and Stephon Castle's entering his prime and whoever they pick with the number two overall is entering his prime and De'Aaron Fox is on that
team. I would say the only
team.
Difference with Matt was somebody was going to have to pay the price and the credit card bill that Freeze left. And, like, in the end, it was Matt.
Well, I mean, you could kind of say the same thing with all respect and reverence in the world for Pop. I mean, you know, the culture and the situation that he is departing in the terms of being the head coach in San Antonio, it's not in the best place it's ever been, but all the tools and the resources and the ingredients are there for them to take that next step, be Western Conference contenders, give this guy a chance, see if he can do it. If he can't, you just go hire somebody else. I mean, I'm sure they're not paying him much.
No, I think that's probably fair. I guess the other thing I was thinking about.
I feel like I also should add, I've worked a couple times those yeah. games, so I've talked with the San Antonio play-by-play, English and Spanish, about that situation, and they both seem to really kind of be in on Mitch. They seem to like him, that he's done a really good job with growing that team.
So you play the trombone and you know Spanish?
Yeah.
Dadgum.
And he's Italian, actually.
I mean, what in yeah. the world? Yeah, you must be excited for this weekend, huh?
Busy. Okay. We did talk.
I will say, I think it's... No, the most underrated is Greek Fest. Greek Fest,
that also sounds
criminally underrated.
Giannis, time. Are you listening?
Yes, Giannis.
Giannis.
Greek Fest.
Please. Just putting it out there. But I've just heard really good things
what
about
would
Mitch
real,
Johnson.
Okay, like, real, first of all, I don't think it's actually possible. But like, what would it actually take to make that deal?
Giannis and Jaren and Dez, right? I mean.
But is that enough?
I mean, you're getting an all-star and a near all-star.
Okay, but like, I guess my thing is, I feel like what happens to the Grizzlies a lot is they usually make pretty good offers, and then someone comes over the top and sweetens the deal. It feels like what the Grizzlies can offer would not be the best deal that the Bucks would get if they actually entertain it. I'm honestly not convinced. I'm not 100% convinced he's leaving.
And I think the other thing there, and this is also a similar whenever we talk about like trade things with like Boston, where both those teams, if they don't change anything really, they continue to be in like cap hell. Would just switching out Giannis for Jaren, Dez and probably capital, does that drastically change where Milwaukee is either, well, both in terms of competing and for the cap? Not really in my mind. I don't know how they
if
look at that
because
they're still in the East.
Because obviously we can fantasize about Ja and Giannis, like the two-man game would just be phenomenal.
Ugh.
Would they have any other players?
Edie, I guess.
But like, are you really going to play Edie and Giannis?
Yeah, that'd be fascinating. I mean,
it'd be interesting.
I think that's why you do it because it energizes.
No,
you're talking about two small market franchises.
I don't want to be clear. I'm not poo-pooing it. I'm more skeptical of that they have the capital that can make it actually.
What?
Like if they actually move him, that they would make the best offer.
Oh right, so you're saying the Grizzlies would have to go above and beyond Dez and Jaren. You're gonna have to mortgage your all your future first round picks and you know
basically.
Yeah,
What's your mechanism for actually filling out the rest of the roster?
Who cares? You get Giannis and Ja.
Figure it out.
You'll sell a lot of tickets and you won't be terrible.
No, I mean, it'd be a shakeup. If they really put him on the market, I think that it'll just be a king's ransom. Because what we've seen is when you put a player on the market, like, it is a lot easier to sell than it is to buy in the NBA. Because
oh, well, yeah, for sure. I mean, because
usually Mika very, tell you very rarely, but... very rarely do teams. If you're trying to buy, very rarely is there a player that fits your need that's available.
You know, but then again, you run into a situation where the Dallas Mavericks trade a future 15-time All-Star like Luka Doncic for.
Have you seen his diet?
Oh yeah, we're talking about how much better he looks. Right?
Well, like not only that, like Mark sent me the picture because I guess Mark follows him on Instagram, and I guess he was eating somewhere in Serbia with his, or maybe Croatia, with his, it appeared to be his mom and his sister.
I'm finding this.
And his
curious.
Picture was his plate, and it was just like you could tell like he had a salad and like he was just like eating the dressing, like he was like probably licking his fingers. You saw his picture and you're like, God, he looks so hungry. Like
yeah.
It's just like we've all had that move where like, oh, I'm eating healthy today. And then you get done with the meal and you're like, what else?
I love that college football offseason message board.
Oh, yeah. Bigger, chatter. Stronger, faster.
Yeah. Now that's come to the NBA, Lakers fans talking themselves into a new and improved, leaner Luka Doncic. Okay.
Speaking from experience, if you can't lose weight in L.A., there's not many places in the country you can lose weight in.
$20 for tiny portions, man.
And it's like, not only that, like, there's not a lot of, like, options where you're like, you're eating gross. Like, I mean, I guess you could go to, like, In-N-Out and Jack in the Box, still, it's tough to get fat.
Well, and the sun's always out, so you're going to be outside doing stuff.
And everyone there is, like, in shape. And, like, that's a real motivating factor.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. It's like a culture shock.
Well, like, my buddy used to say at Pepperdine, when we'd be walking, he's like, oh, there's the other fat guy. He's like, the other one. He's like, we got a nod. Like, it's like they kind of, like, notice each other. Like, we see each other across the quad. Like, you know, and there he is. The other thing that I was thinking about, the Tate got a lot of run, but Jay Williams, so... He was hypothesizing last week about, you know, the fact that we have not had an American MVP since, I believe, Harden. So I think it was 2017.
Jesus, that's dang.
Yeah, it's been like 8 years, I think it is.
I don't think he packaged the take right, but I think there was a kernel in something in there.
We're going to blame it on AAU?
No, well, what he questioned was, he goes, should we be blaming cancel culture? And I think that's wrong, but what is...
Whoa, elaborate.
I'll out. I found myself kind of taking up for Jay the last two takes that he's gotten the most. Like, at the time that he made the Brunson, that his point was, by the end of Brunson's career, he could be an all-time great Knick. And everyone filleted him on that. But after the last series, it certainly looked like that. Now, as we are in the NBA, you know, he's terrible, he's no good, Halliburton's passed him by, like, that's how it is. But when you consider how few playoff series they had won before he got there and where he is now, like, I don't think it's as asinine of his take as he got filleted. I don't think cancel culture is the way to present it, but what I do think there is something to be there. It's not necessarily AAU culture, but in America now, we have legitimate teenagers that have brands. And everything now in America is solely based on individual play. And so if you wind up in a situation, I'm not even saying like, oh, you get your coach canceled because, or you get your coach fired because he coached you hard. I'm not even saying that. But what you see a lot is kid goes and one summer he plays for one team, then the next year he's playing on a bigger Nike team and he's just raising his profile. I do wonder if that actually stunts development. And then when you factor in now with college, I mean, how many guys are realistically going to only play at one school in one system develop? Like, in the end, everybody's going to the best option. I'm not even necessarily saying, like, oh, it's cancel culture, but I do wonder if there's something there compared to the European kids, which largely, and obviously I know Shea played high school here, but Shea is from the Canadian.
Shout out to Hamilton Heights in Chattanooga.
Well, but Shea, like, played in the Canadian youth program where there is more of an emphasis on development. And I think Shea's not the greatest example, but like with a lot of the European guys, they're all in either the academy programs or they're in the national programs where the emphasis is more on developing as a complete player versus just trying to raise your profile. And I'm not even saying like, oh, this is wrong and whatnot. But like, I do wonder if there's something there.
Yeah, I don't personally view it as like some huge indictment on the status of American basketball. The reality is the rest of the world is just getting better at basketball.
Well, I think there's also, I think there's something to be said for the NBA went international and probably it made more sense, but the NBA made a stronger push to be an international game for financial reasons. But now what they've done is it took a while to get going, but now we're starting to see all these other countries are starting to catch up. Like, I do think that's a part of it. And it's not like every Serbian or every Croatian that comes over here is elite, but like their best ones are. It's like, I don't know. Like he was getting filleted for the take. I thought the way he presented it wasn't the best, but I didn't necessarily think it was a bad question to consider.
Well, I look at a guy like a Tyrese Halliburton, and I don't necessarily like see the evidences of like what you're discussing. Like, obviously, he's not with the same franchise that brought him into the league, but I mean, he played two seasons at Iowa State, kind of an under the radar guy who's grown into a star and is slowly.
But is he on that? So my thing with Halliburton is, I think the other problem that we keep seeing is, we have this mad rush of guys that to me are in that somewhere like between 7 and 25 in terms of best players in the league. And there's this mad rush to hype them up and say it's their league, it's their league. Like, let's be real. If Halliburton does what I expect the Thunder are going to do to him next series, like, we're just going to be right back to see he's overrated. Like it's for me, the key difference is, I don't think there are that many like truly elite players. And I think because of that, when we start to see new, we try to elevate it. And then what you realize is like the player's very, very good, but he's not like Jokic.
Well, there's like a generational gap right now in terms of the superstar American talent, because you've got LeBron aging out. You got Steph aging out. They've been the faces of the league for so long now. James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, they're aging out. Like, so where is your next, like, we wanted to be Anthony Edwards. We thought it could be John Morant. Like, maybe right now everybody gets on a Tyrese Halliburton
kick.
Well,
don't forget we did the Tatum thing.
I mean, well, he's honestly kind of the answer, but now he's snapped his Achilles, so you don't know what he's going to be. But, because, I mean, how good he was last year.
But, like, to me, Tatum kind of falls into the category of, like, I think he's somewhere. He's clearly inside the top 10, but like, I guess the way I look at it is, if you looked at the Denver OKC series, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's team wins and moves on. And I think by the end of that, you're like, they're just the better team. But when I'm watching the series, even when Jokic had down games, the way that Jokic impacts the game, I'm like, this is not the same. Like, when you're watching Jokic, it's a different level of elite. And that's not to say that that's like not, and maybe the bigger transition is, okay, you don't necessarily have to have the Jokic, because maybe now under this CBA, when you have the Jokic, which costs $60 million, you're not allowed to have the rest of the team. And now the depth is becoming a much bigger deal. And so you have Shai, who's on, I think, like a $40 million deal like that. Maybe you're better off having that, because Shai clearly is still awesome. But now you can fill it in with, like, Shai can have five other guys or four other guys around him that make up for his deficiencies. Like, he's not the world's greatest defender. He's not a bad one, but he's not the world's greatest. But it allows, because everyone else that they basically put around him are awesome defenders, like, it allows him to basically exert all of his energy on the offensive end.
So you hate America, and cancel culture is the reason why America stinks.
I don't hate America. I do wonder, why are we not producing? I don't think we have someone that can make a legitimate claim to the best player in the world right now.
Well, I'll say this. The traits that you're describing are like guys that do more than just put up buckets, guys that impact winning, guys who have that championship DNA, right?
Mainly, you can bottom line, I care about guys that impact winning.
Well, okay. I think that that's what's missing in the Cooper Flagg discussion right now, because you're starting to see the takes, the fatigue, if you will, right, of Cooper Flagg. Are we sure he's the number one overall
pick? Oh, yeah, no, it's starting.
You know, but all the things you're describing are why, to me, it's so obvious that he is, and why, to me, it's so obvious that he's going to be, at minimum, a 7 or 8-time All-Star. Because Yeah, I mean, he's an extremely talented, skilled individual player. But, I mean, he did stay loyal to that Maine United AAU program. Yeah. And he did ride out up until the end. I think he played up until his senior year for the same high school with his twin brother, Ace, who's going to be playing at Maine this year. So that was something that was important to their family. I mean, he worked with some of the same development coaches, you know, all growing up, right? And then he goes to Duke. He impacted winning. I've seen this guy play in person. I think he embodies some of the characteristics that you believe are missing.
And, like, I'm not willing to also, like, say the die is cast on Ant. Because, like, he is 23. Like, that's kind of the other thing is, I think now guys get to the league at a more advanced rate. And we kind of forget that there is a feeling it out process. And, like, learning as you go. Like, if we want to use your Tatum example, like, Tatum didn't win his title until at 26. And, what, he got in the league at 19, right?
Yeah.
So 7 seasons. Like, I do think that's the other problem is, like, we want to announce that 22-year-old Anthony Edwards is the next Michael Jordan. Like, let it play out. Like, let's see. Like, that, I don't know. I guess those are just kind of things that, like, I was wondering. It's like, is it actually an issue or is it cyclical?
Well, here's the deal, too. Guys can, you talk about guys building their brand. Guys aren't as hungry maybe now as they were before because they're getting these massive NIL paydays. Exactly right. And so you're an international guy. You're just dreaming of maybe hoping to someday get to the States. You know, you're probably cared for and provided for in these feeder systems on the international stage. But, you know, your bag is in the NBA. That's where your bag. Now your bag, if you're a homegrown domestic product, your bag can be in college. And then you make $5-7 million in college. I'm not saying you're not still hungry and fired up to try to make it to that next NBA level. But, like, your livelihood no longer depends on it. Because,
live golf.
I mean, sure. And so yeah, there's a demotivation that I think is just natural to human instinct. When you get that sort of money entering your bank account on a biweekly basis, man, like, you are just not going to be as just ultra hungry as you would be if your entire future depended upon your basketball performance.
No, there is something to be said. Like, it used to be, like, even if you were getting paid under the table, like, to really get paid, you had to be elite.
Zion.
And even, like, Zion, like, I'm not even sure in the under-the-table era. Like, that's such a different element. Now, what you and I, like, what we're seeing is you're covering the portal. Like, how many, like, mediocre guys are just
making
getting,
millions.
Like, it's unreal.
Yeah.
Like, I do think there's something to be said. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we welcome Jason Smith to the program. We'll get his thoughts on maybe the NCAA tournament expanding. Is that good for Memphis? Does it matter? We'll talk about it next right here on Jeff Wright & Company.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
G9FM, ESPN. Jason Smith is the co-host of the Jason and John Show weekdays right here on 92.9FM, ESPN from 11 until 2 on Twitter on X at JasonSmith929. Jason, are you ready for some expand the NCAA tournament talk again?
We did it on our show. We had Doster on and Charlie Baker's talking about it, and it does seem imminent at some point. It's Doster from Field 68 made the point. You just don't. There are none of us clamoring for it. The public is not clamoring for more teams in the tournament like we were for more teams in the college football playoff. They're absolutely right. And it was just he was pointing to how this is all money driven, as we know, as you guys have talked about. And yeah, for Charlie Baker can talk all he wants to about how we want to get the Indiana States from 23-24, the teams that should have been in, right, but miss out because they didn't win their conference tournament. Well, that team should have been in anyway. But probably behind the scenes, they're hoping with those extra spots, however many more we add, you know, you're getting brand names because brand names will only bring, you know, potentially more eyeballs.
CBS and Turner ain't paying to bring in more Illinois states.
Let's just make it all 16 SEC teams because here's the hope. Those fan bases are going to travel, right? We can talk about more of the, you know, those mid-majors making it because they got clipped and didn't win their conference tournaments. But what they're really hoping for as more butts in seats, more tickets sold, fan bases, more eyeballs watching it on television. I mean, in the end, they're just going to want, you know, you want more brands. It's what they're secretly rooting for, but won't tell you. So, you know, you asked me the question. We got to get ready for it because that's where we're headed. This is their cash cow. Went over $1 billion last in 25, I think. I know we were darn near close to it in 24. And with them seemingly – You got, as you pointed out, Jeffrey Sankey basically calling you out on the football side, saying, what are we doing this for? With the NCAA seemingly losing whatever grip it has in college football, well, what do? You double down on your moneymaker. You add more teams, and that's more on that $1.1 billion or whatever it was this year. I think it was $900 million in 24. Figure they're over $1 billion. They're adding to that. You know, what their big moneymaker, their cash cow, that's what they're going to double down on here. So, it's the times. It's college athletics, which we know equals dollar sign, no matter what part of it you're talking about. And it's just it's part of the evolution of college sports, I suppose.
Yeah, well, they got to pay my salary, obviously. 100%. And, yeah, and then you got to decrease high major angst. I mean, honestly, whatever you can do at this point to keep the SEC and the Big Ten.
Appease them.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, that's the world we live in now. Because if they say we're going to take our ball and go home, and then everybody's left to create some sort of second-rate tournament of their own accord. I mean, nobody wins there, except for, I guess, maybe the high majors think their pocketbooks might win in that scenario. But by doing this, yeah, you can talk about the Indiana States of the world all you want to, but at the end of the day, like, I think we all realize this is just a mechanism for the high majors to each get double-digit teams into the field on an annual basis.
100%. And so, something that's working against you. I mean, you know, in the end, whether it's Big Ten, SEC, whether it's all four of them, you know, on that football side, sort of working against you, like, where's your power? They're flexing in your face
you know, on this side, you're really just helping them. Like you said, you're appeasing them on this basketball side, because it, what it'll ultimately end up being is now you'll get 15 or of the 16 or all 16 SEC teams in. I mean, it's that obvious, and they can sell us, as you said, all they want to about the Indiana States. But in the end, they want as big and as fat a check as they can get, and it's those bigger brands from the power programs that will do that. But, you know, at this point, it's like, why would the SEC and the Big Ten look at this governance deal that's there for the four of them and say we're equal to the Big 12, right, and to the ACC? They're not. And Sankey, I think, and Jeffries touched on this, and coming out and sort of saying what we all kind of thought was happening anyway, but in saying it and voicing it, and he's the one talking, because they're certainly not talking in the Big Ten, that I've got my folks asking me, what are we doing here? What would be the point for them to take anything equal to these two conferences of power four conferences that are beneath them in terms of governance when they have all of the leverage right now, them and the Big Ten? And so I don't know, the more you read about it, the more Sankey is willing to, I don't know how to phrase it, but flex more in the face of the NCAA. You just wondering if this is imminent. What can be done to keep them from breaking off? And so whether that's in, you know, before the media rights deals are all done in 2030 or whatever else, and that's where we're at, as opposed to a new looking Power Four. That just feels more and more realistic every day. Now, maybe I'm naive. Maybe I'm getting too far down. But when you got Sankey willing to say it now, man, it's scary for schools like, it's not just Memphis, who has always been on the outside looking in. It's a lot of those right now Power Four schools that, as you said, Cobb, they would be on. We were talking about them today. What would be left? You know, the Louisville's, the Georgia Tech's, because if you're the SEC and the Big Ten, well, maybe you take a North Carolina or Florida State, however you divvy that up. But what's going to be left, that's still a significant part of the what's now the Power Four. And so what that's going to be able to fetch, and whether Memphis can be a part of that, those schools are going to be feeling a lot like what Memphis has felt like for the duration. Because in the end, Cobb, like you said, you know, and Fitzy, we had Jason Fitz from Yahoo Sports. We had him on this week. Compared it, Big Ten and the SEC could go off and do an NFL thing. I mean, that's just how powerful they are right now. So that's what everybody would be watching. And so what you'd have left to sell, boy, to try to figure that out. That's a different world, but one we might be headed for.
Cobb, is it clear to you? Like the thing that I found interesting about Charlie Baker today is, he went to the Big 12 spring meetings. He did not go to the SEC spring meetings. He did not go to the Big 10 meetings that were in California allegedly last week, which someone told me that was true. I have no idea whether or not that is. But what I took note of is they've been trying to force this. And it feels like this is the move. Like he's finally looking for a friendly room, and maybe the Big 12 is a friendly room, but I'm just not convinced that this is as imminent as it gets talked about, because every time it gets brought up, everyone acts like it's happening. And then lo and behold, we get to the point where it's not happening. I think the key is Charlie Baker wants it to happen, but I'm not convinced that everybody else, like that he needs to go along with it, will make it happen.
No, I probably agree with you. Again, I mean, I have no idea in terms of predictions how this thing's going to go, but in terms of where we started with the basketball side of things, I would fully expect expansion.
And like that's the thing, it's like, all right, like I've made like peace with it, whatever. My whole thing is, if you're going to do it, if you're going to expand to whatever, if you're going to go to 72 or 76, just make all of those the last teams in and have them play whatever we call the Dayton games now, the first four, whatever, like make them have whatever, if it's eight teams, it's 12 teams, like the last ones.
Well, the high majors would love that, because then you just have all the 13 through 16 seeds playing each other.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not sure you can pull that one off.
Jason, what I got to get you on.
Where are the eyeballs? Go ahead, Kyle.
Well, I got to know, because Gabe posed this question to me yesterday, and I need to know kind of what other people are thinking about this, but the idea of the Memphis basketball roster right now, he posed it to me like this: are you confident in where this roster stands now? And my answer was no. And I told him it feels like there is entirely too much riding on this Dane Danger waiver. And I'm in a position of thinking, if this waiver does not get approved, I don't know if Memphis is an NCAA tournament team. I don't know if that's too far in the doomsday direction. What's your pulse, your temperature on that,
well,
that situation?
I think it's fair for you to question whether they're still a tournament team, Cobb, you know, especially in the job that you have, because if it was John that alerted me this week, and it was an eyebrow raiser that at least over at Bartorvik right now, you know, South Florida's ahead of you. And I think with Dane, South Florida, with their new head coach, no, yes. And I
yes.
think with Dane, when you factor Dane in, Memphis was still, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm trying to remember off the, but Memphis was still only a few spots ahead of South Florida.
Wow.
But without him, several behind him. And so back to your point, you know, what you cannot bank on, if you're being honest with yourself, is another 10-3 non-conference schedule. First of all, you don't know that you're going to have the fourth toughest like you had last year. Right now, you've got, it looks like, four teams that are projected to make the tournament: Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Purdue. Matt Painter says you're going to be playing them. And then you've got one more on there that escapes me right now. But other than that, I mean, you're hoping that you've got another marquee opponent. Louisville is the other, who I think Lenardi had pegged as a sixth seed under Kelsey with that turnaround.
Oh yeah, they're stacked.
You're starting up the series with them. That's four. That's strong, but it's not strong enough to offset, again, what we've all talked about, you know, day after day when it comes to college basketball season around here, is how bad that AAC is and the lack of quality opportunities there. And so my point is, Penny, I'm expecting actually, you know, a couple of more, maybe one or two more marquee opponents, just because he has to. And then, are you going to go 10-3 again? And that is what helped them get the five seed. I think Lenardi had them as the automatic choir. Again, this is, you're talking about early bracketologies. I hadn't checked palms yet if he's got one out, but he had him as an 11 seed as the automatic qualifier. So the idea again being that, okay, well, yeah, Memphis might have enough to win the AAC. But whether it's because this is a brand new roster or because going 10-3 again against non-conference schedules that have to be as hard as Memphis's is going to be tough to do. And so forget five seed. Can you get back to 8-9 based on what you've got? And you look at this roster, it's brand new. Like you said, I think we're up to 13 new guys. And that's assuming that you're going to get the 15 after the house settlement that everybody's expecting. But still, it's all these new guys. So you don't even have a Nick Jourdain that you had last year when it felt like you had a completely flipped roster. And so when you're doing this, Cobb, you know the deal. Kansas State's seen it. I mean, you're gambling in terms of chemistry every year. It's not always going to go as well as Tyrese Hunter and P.J. Haggerty gelled. That was the beautiful case. It could go where, okay, you take Caleb Mills out, your one sacrifice guy, and the rest of it all crumbles because Javon Quinterly and the type of leader you need, but you didn't have any others either. Oh, by the way, you added Naquan Tomlin that year. Like, it all fell apart chemistry-wise. And we literally saw it on the court, and it turned into a debacle. And so you're playing that game every year when you're flipping this many. And so back to the point, am I confident? I'm confident that – here's what I'm confident in, that Penny's got enough to win the AAC. You know, that, yes, Torvik's got South Florida above Memphis right now. Again, that's the analytics. That's the numbers. His numbers were low on Memphis as a five seed last year. I think they were, you know, much lower than you would think in terms of where Memphis finished up in terms of the top 64 teams in America. And so, again, from that standpoint, you know, I can say I'm confident they'll win the AAC, which gets you in the tournament. But hoping to get a five, you know, anything out of 8-9, which might be a stretch, because of, trying to get those kind of opponents that you need to have the fourth, fifth, usually, Cobb, you've seen it. Though the teams that are around Memphis and that type of strength of non-conference schedule, those are SWAC teams.
Yes.
They got to go play bye games. No, power programs in basketball. And I will always continue to refer to Memphis basketball as that. I mean, it's a power program because it is spent like one. It's been resourced like one. And, yes, while we realize it's falling behind now, we've seen it this offseason, in terms of the coffers everybody else has got and what you've got, you know, it's always been resourced that way. You look at the down to the $20 million practice facility that it plays in. And so, no, I'm confident Penny's got enough to win the AAC, but I'm not confident that gets you anywhere, again, because of the multitude of factors that, you know, that you need to go right to have a decent seed to make a solid push. And even when you got the decent seed, it's not promised. Look at last year with the matchup you got with Colorado State. So, Cobb, it feels tough, and it feels like it's only going to get tougher because Memphis, unlike the rest of these schools, at least right now, the power schools, after house settlement, that money goes way up. You've got these, you know, power programs that were mid-range in their leagues, maybe bottom tier. John's telling us they're adding $4-5 million to their budget. It's going to have a lot more than their $10 million budget, you know, plus schools this year. Memphis won't have that. So it's going to get, again, the bottom line is going to get tougher to continually have those national, you know, championship aspirations, but certainly deep run and tournament aspirations. The aspirations of being a nationally relevant program, it's going to be harder to do as you go forward because the cost is going up to do so. So, well, hopefully Penny can work his magic again and find, and this thing looks, in terms of gelling and good chemistry, more like last year where we questioned a lot of the guys that he brought in. Is this going to work at a winning program? You know, you're hoping it looks more like that than it did 2 years ago. Could go either way.
Jason, we appreciate it.
Y'all take care.
Jason Smith of the Jason and John Show. We come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Cobb, for today's Don't Tell the Story, tell your story. Brett McMurphy tweeted out a little over an hour ago, the SEC provided a 7-page document to the media showing, quote, the regular season gauntlet, end quote, that the SEC teams face in league play. Says the SEC is, quote, no other conference, or says the SEC, quote, no other conference has a regular season as grueling as the SEC.
So why did Auburn lose to Cal again?
USC to USC, or LSU to USC. Yeah.
Vanderbilt to Georgia State.
Yeah, that one's the tough one. Hey, they did a lot of telling their story this week.
They sure did. At the Hilton. 7 pages and a whole lot more.
And
talk.
A whole lot more whining and complaining. My thanks to Eric Hasselstein and to Jason Smith for joining the program. If you missed anything, get me up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Cobb, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all.
All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.